Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paranormal Hour from World of Ink Network. I'm Willow Cross, and I'm here tonight with my co-host, Tracy Ford. And we have a very special guest for you. They call him the Dark Literary Prince. Nathan Squires is here with us. And Marcia Casper Cook is manning the studio because
we're all in trouble now if I'm manning the studio. Yeah.
You're womaning the studio.
That's right. World of Ink.
How are you all doing? Everybody doing okay?
Yep.
Yeah. We're all good.
Friday.
How can it get any better than that?
Oh, we better tell everybody, there is trouble. That Blog Talk actually has trouble, and there has been trouble around the certain areas. So if the show goes off, the show we will have again in the next week and another time, you know, we'll get everybody on. But just in case it does, something happens, because they're keep putting messages up. So we'll see how it goes. All right, have a good show. I'm just kind of like, here, go ahead, Willow.
Well, thank you for being there.
Well, you're welcome.
Nathan, it is an absolute pleasure to have you on the show tonight.
Well, thank you. It's an absolute pleasure to be on it.
For the listeners, I don't even know his stories yet. He hasn't told me. We were just talking one night, and I'm like, so do you have any ghost stories? And he's like, oh, yeah. And I was like, oh, come on the show. So this is all brand new to me, too. I'm excited to hear your supernatural encounters. There you go. That was your lead, and that was your.
What never happened?
That was your segue.
Well, I was actually very excited to have the chance to be on the show with you, because obviously you're very well educated and well learned in this field, and it's not something that I've necessarily studied in great depth, but at the same time, I have these encounters, and it's a fun idea that I can bring some of these stories to you and maybe shed some light on the personal encounters. I don't know what they mean or what they could entail to any great depth. But a lot of it actually started when I was 3 or 4. I lived in a small town in Massachusetts called Petersham, and at that time I was living with my father. My parents separated. I want to say 1 or 2. And my father had apparently had a history with paranormal encounters. He was sort of the town fix-it man. You know, if somebody needed their toilet repaired, or if somebody needed their roof re-shingled, or something of that nature, they typically called upon my father. And he always had stories about that, you know, because he was repairing all of these various houses and homes, and a lot of them very old, and a lot of them with very elaborate, creepy histories. And, you know, he would come home later on when I was a kid and tell me of these stories. Like, he actually had one encounter where he named the phenomenon Mort. And he told me later on that the reason for that is for the Latin for death. And I guess he would spend a lot of time in the houses, you know, doing like cleanup work and making sure everything was tidied up after his, coworkers and colleagues had gone home for the night. And, you know, he would, be the only person in the house. He'd have his toolbox on the kitchen counter, and he'd go upstairs to, you know, sweep up some sawdust or something. He'd come downstairs, and he'd find his toolbox in the living room. And, you know, other such encounters like that, you know, the typical, the, you know, he's the only person in the house, and for some reason windows are or doors are opening and closing in areas where there is no dust. And one of the stories that kind of stuck out in my memory, because bear in mind I was still very young, so a lot of what he told me probably just fell on deaf ADD ears. But I guess there was one time he was reshingling the house that this orc phenomenon was inhabiting. And as he's reshingling this house, he suddenly feels that this orc, like, tugging on his belt. And, like, it's trying to pull him off the roof. And he starts to stumble and fall and steadies himself on the gutter. And he's got nothing else to say or do. And he finally just says, so help me God, Mort, if I die on this rooftop, I'm going to haunt you. And suddenly the pressure was gone.
Oh, wow.
And so, but there were always encounters like that. And, like, at one point he actually had a photograph that he had showed me. I believe I was a teenager at this point. And this was really interesting to me. Apparently, when you look at the picture, it looks like a priest just standing in the center of a room. And there's really nothing eerie or descriptive about it until you begin to realize that he has no feet. The floor just suddenly sort of, like, where his ankle, like the calf region would be, is where the floor is. And it was a really eerie sort of, like, wait a minute, was this a mistake? What, you know, is it the ankle? And after a little bit of research, we discovered that the church that this picture had been taken in had a lot of remodeling work done. And a great deal of this remodeling work included completely redoing the floorboard. And as we did our research, we discovered that the floor had been redone to the point where the new floor existed about 8 inches above the old floor.
Oh, wow.
And when you look at the picture, you realize it's about 8 inches of the priest's feet that are missing, which meant that in the picture, he's standing on the original floor, not the new floor.
Not the new floor. Oh, total coolness. I would love to see that picture. You can't get your hands on that still, can you? Is it still floating around somewhere?
I really wouldn't know. I've lost touch with my father a long time ago. And I don't even know if it was his picture. I mean, honestly, I would have no problem driving over to his house, wherever that might be, breaking in and stealing the photographic evidence. But
yeah, let's not. We can't advocate burglary or breaking and entering, because that could get us in trouble.
So
I wouldn't recommend that we go that route to discover the picture. However, should you happen to open an old trunk one day and run across it, I'd be interested in seeing it.
He will be the first thing I think of.
We do not advocate for criminal activity on the show.
No. Never. You know, oh, heavens, who knows who's listening? We could be in big trouble now.
Well, nobody's on the chat, so there's nobody at least logged in. So.
Well, that's good. Of course, would they? Okay, we can't go that direction with this show. I got to stop myself right there. It's been a crazy week. It's not getting any less crazy this weekend, I can promise you. So these are stories that had been passed down to you from, and what did you say the name of the town was?
It's Petersham. Some people will call it Petersham. Honestly, it's spelled like you know, a man named Peter who owns a ham. It's like one of those small backwood type things. Everybody knows everybody. You know, everyone goes to the top of the hill to, you know, the maple tree to tap their own syrup for the. It's this and that. It's one of those kind of old folks
towns
that it was really pleasant to grow up in, but as you begin to mature and get to know people more often, you start to find
I'm guessing it, if it's in Massachusetts, it must be a really old town.
I would imagine so. I haven't been near it since I want to say I was 7.
Wow. Okay, so let's fast forward a little bit. We don't have to fast forward. This is your story, so you tell it however you want. I won't make it up for you. I won't be presumptuous and make it up for you.
Anybody who's familiar with my storytelling technique will know that time doesn't really exist.
Then you'll fit right in.
That's right.
I'll be talking about 5 minutes ago, and the next thing you know, I'm 1800. So.
Well, you got the right crew to follow you. We can all do that. We follow.
That's right. Sounds like fun. Now, okay, let's take a minute before we go on with your ghost stories. And Nathan, tell the listeners about your books, because I did let everybody know that you're an author. And give us like the titles and the genre, and just tell us a little bit about them.
I think for the most part, a lot of the people that listen in on this will be disappointed to know that they're neither real life stories nor are they particularly haunted. I do have a tendency to sort of weave a bit of my own experience into it, but for the most part, I write dark urban fantasy and horror.
We got a lot of vampire lovers here, I tell you.
I adore vampires. When I was a kid, I was terrified of vampires. I think there was an episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark that featured a vampire family, and it warped me in ways that I'm sure some psychotherapist will just have a parade day trying to analyze even now. My mother was stuck in the closet for vampires till I was 14, and I'm not ashamed to admit that. Maybe a little. But the best way to describe what I write is, if anybody's ever seen sort of the Blade or Underworld movie, that sort of that pseudo horror slash action adventure slash, you know, everything that can be conceivably cool or fun, piled into action stories, it usually I tend to try and weave some sort of a life lesson or some philosophy or psychology, but honestly, if nobody got that from
tell us the title.
The ongoing series I have is Crimson Shadow. So book one is actually free on Amazon right now, and when I say free, I mean 100% free. You go on Amazon, you find Crimson Shadow Noir on a Kindle, you click Out to Me Now, or whatever it is, and it is yours for no money. And that's, you know, a nice lead into the series.
Cool beans. Well,
yeah,
there you go.
Nice.
Everybody run over to Amazon real quick and download Nathan's book. There's the commercial for the evening. When you're done with Nathan's, go download one of Tracy's and one of mine, too. You might as well make a whole shot all the way around. And Marcia's. I lost my train of thought.
Okay, Nathan, is it one day or is it a few days that's free?
The fact that it's free?
Yeah.
Oh, that's indefinite.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
Yep. For as long as it's on Amazon, it will be free.
Can I just ask
you
why
awesome.
You did that? Just because, you know, because we have a lot of people that listen in that are writing. Why did you do it free for all time?
It's book one of what's going to be a 7-book series.
Okay.
And to be fair, there's a lot of books on the market. There's a lot of, there's a lot of challenges for the reader who is trying to find a new title to go on. Because there's so much great stuff out there. And my stance on it is if I'm confident in the product, I should be able to give them book one for nothing. And they will decide for themselves if they enjoy the series and then come back for the rest of them. And so far, it's been working out great.
That's good. I didn't know if everybody knows that Willow does format books. She's formatted my books. I've driven her crazy, probably, because I keep changing things. But that is what you do, Willow, right? You know, I mean,
that's
one of your, you know, highlights
it's
of what
one
you
of
do.
Many, many, many things that I
no,
do.
No, but look, because you know what, I know this is not about that, but the thing, well, it is about writing. But the thing is that people don't realize that people can format and put it on for them because, you know, Create Space really does a good job with their, you know, KDP division. I mean, they do. They do a great job for people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
yeah,
a lot of people are out there wanting to know what to do for things because they just don't know what to do anymore.
Well, it's for those of you that might be having questions about publishing,
yes,
you can find me for those particular kind of questions on Willow's Indie Book Services. That's the website and the Facebook page. You can also find Nathan because Nathan also has Tiger Dynasty Publishing.
Publishing. Yep.
So you can contact him.
Oh, that's
as
good.
Well.
Right. That's good to know. You know, because that's good to know because I'm one of our shows. If I do that. Dynasty? Okay, I'll write this down. Okay. And you publish.
And,
that's great.
So that we can segue back into the topic of the show. So if you're writing a ghost book, you need to get a hold of Nathan. No, I'm just playing. Anyhow, we have all that stuff, and I'm always happy to answer questions that I can answer. I mean, if you ask me something and I have no idea, I'll just straight up tell you, dude, I have no idea. But I will try to help find somebody who does have an idea if I don't. I'm all about learning new things. So,
yeah,
get a hold of me if you have a question.
All of us do that. Everybody at World Inc. is like that, you know, that they will help because we all know what it's like. It's hard out there.
Yeah.
Really tough. So that's good to know. All right, so I'll write that down. So next time maybe I have a horror show because I do. I have horror shows, and which I wish Willow would come out. And, you know, and Tracy, you know, while we're on the air, I just say you're always welcome on the shows too. So, you know, my shows
Thank
are
you.
Kind of like 20 people at one time. I have like a lot of people at one time.
She just says, and you guys heard her live on air, I wish Willow would come on. But then she calls me twice a week and say, you do too much. You need to slow down.
I know.
I would be more than happy, though. You know, Marsha, I'll come on in.
No, I know. I know. Look, you know what? And that's why if he's a publisher, because I'm sure he has a lot to say about that also. Because, you know, our audience is so huge as far as what everybody does. And everybody knows that I try things, and sometimes they just don't work. I'm like the guinea pig of everything. I try everything, and they don't work a lot of times. They really don't, and you know, but some things do. But it's always good to know when people are publishers. Can I just one more question? Are you taking new people for your publishing company?
At the moment, we're sort of pausing to try and catch up with one of our goals is to provide a quality product, especially when it comes to editing and formatting. So for the most part, we are closed. However, because I am the CEO, because it is my publisher and my publishing company, because you know in a lot of ways I break my own rules because I'm naughty like that. If you were to directly contact me later on, and it's a product that I want to back, then I will absolutely make an exception.
I'm naughty like
sorry.
That.
Naughty. That was the cutest use of the word naughty I've heard in the longest time.
I'm trying to behave myself.
You're doing so well.
Ah,
so
nah.
We don't like good behavior. We don't reinforce that.
Well, Willow knows I've got a bit of a mouth on me.
Well, you're in good company, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Our conversations off air are very different than our conversations on air. Oh, not that I'm being fake. It's just that, you know, there's that whole FCC thing and fines and whatnot, and I care not to pay those. All right, let's get back to the topic, because I don't want the listeners to be going, okay, this is supposed to be about ghosts and supernatural stuff. Do you have any personal experiences?
I do. A lot of it is, again, like I said, I'm not directly educated in the field of paranormal, so a lot of what I would consider personal experiences sort of fall into the realm of, like, I don't even know if that would be paranormal, and I'm trying to decide if it would be better to sort of lead in with the boring, potentially scientifically explained phenomenon, or a few of my more outlandish, like, wow, I think I just encountered a ghost encounters. Which would you prefer?
it's your story. You tell it however you want. Believe me, Tracy and I will weigh in and we'll tell you if we think it was real or Memorex.
Nathan, I'm going to stop you there. That was absolute bull.
well, I would not say that.
You would not say that?
No, Tracy would.
Stop putting words in my mouth.
I find the bulk of my own experiences tend to be, they tend to be sort of energy-based. And I know that we had touched upon this a little bit earlier, but machines do not like me. And when I say machines don't like me, I mean I effectively shut down an entire Target store by pressing 3 buttons on a register. And
that's awesome.
I don't think that should be possible. Like, I don't think somebody sat there programming Target, you know, cash register system and goes, okay, if you push these 3 buttons, everything on the network is just going to go black.
Wow.
And they were training me to use the register, and I was saying, like, I don't want to use the register. At that time, I was working as one of their, you know, heavy lifter / cart hauling wacky monkey boys. And, I guess they were shorthanded, and they wanted to bring me on to the cash register, so they throw me in the training thing. You know, they basically set it so that I'm not actually doing transactions for the system. And he's like, okay, now press this, and this to sign into the system. So I press this, and this, and suddenly my screen goes black. And I'm like, okay, that was weird. And then the person right next to me, the register neighboring my own, says, What just happened? And I look over, and her screen is black. And then you actually watch. It was like a domino effect. Every screen, basically,
whoa,
just every screen's going black. And they couldn't do transactions for 2.5 hours while they brought the system back up.
Wow.
But it started with yours.
So I'm watching this happen, and I finally look over at the store manager. It's like, can I go push carts now?
Okay, I've just had an epiphany. Nathan, it's your fault my computer crashed.
The powers that be
knew you were coming on the show tonight, and so you can send me a new computer to P.O. Box 354.
Hold on, I need to get this address down. But, I mean, I tell that story first because that seems to sort of be the nature of what I feel is the paranormal experience. I find that very often if there's, like, shaky wiring in a house, that house will have a blackout the minute I set it. You know, I'll be driving home from the mall late at night and, you know, a dozen streetlights will burn out as I pass by.
Wow.
And I don't know if these, like, again, like, are these coincidental? Is it just, like, I happen to be at a place and something happens? Or am I, like, anti?
Go ahead. Sorry. I had a frog in my throat.
I mean, I'm wondering about psychokinesis, even.
Well, I was thinking, because I think that that is a possibility. But I'm wondering if he doesn't put off, if he doesn't have a different electromagnetic field than what the average person does.
I'm thinking,
you know what
that
I mean?
Might be correct, yeah.
I wish, don't
because
cringe when I say
something...
this, I wish I could study you in a scientific in a laboratory
setting. Oh, Willow, you can study me all.
Because I think it would be fun, Nathan, to hook you up to, you know, some an EKG monitor and maybe a couple other different things and measure your energy output, the energy field around you. I'm also very curious what you guys have seen those cameras, right, that can take pictures of your aura?
Yeah.
I would be very curious to see what one of those pictures look like of you.
Well, I've done a lot of research into auras because I actually utilize auras for the mythology for my book. So I understand more about auras than I do about ghosts. But I've never had the honor or the privilege of having my own photographed or even studied because, let's be fair, you know, where would I go to do such a thing around upstate New York? Suddenly I start getting emails from everyone in upstate New York, hey, let me study you. No, that's Willow's privilege.
I'm sorry. Tell them they have to come to me for permission.
Yeah,
I won't
right.
grant it. I won't grant permission unless they allow me access to their lab. And I get to be there too, and then, buddy, you're mine. That's it. We're going to check stuff out.
Tracy, why don't you just say what you wrote, because nobody can see it. They can't see what you wrote.
I said, so Willow would like to make Nathan into a lab rat.
He's still so dirty.
Hashtag Willow's Minions. There you go.
You know,
everybody
the way they said about Chicago, Chicago has more rats, the fourth city that has more rats than any of the other cities.
Well, isn't that where the mob is?
That
Sorry.
Is what people think of Chicago, yes. Those
I
are the
thought
things
it
that
was funny.
Think.
Then yeah, after I, nobody I, laughed, I thought, wow.
I think people think that. They do think that. They do. They think that. It's ridiculous. It's not. It's not true.
It's mentioning it and getting the mafia to suddenly notice you that I think people tend to frown upon.
Hey, if I die, my books will be golden, so whatever.
There you go.
Not to mention, I'm going to haunt Tracy, and she's going to write a bunch of books.
Death by mafia does sound like a pretty gnarly way to go.
So, Nathan, explain a little bit about auras, because I'm kind of interested in that. I want to know what that means to you and your history with that.
Again, you're probably going to be disappointed because what I did is I read up on auras and what they are, and, you know, it's deep. Bioelectric signature. Because, I mean, I understood the concept of, you know, you are a living thing. You are generating energy. So what does that energy look like? What does it represent? And at that time, I was doing a lot of research for the mythology of my books. I was actually with my fiancé and fellow author, Megan J. Parker. And we were working together on trying to sort of take all of the classic lore and mythology and basically create something that we felt was a little bit more fun and usable for the mythology we were creating. And so I took all of these things about auras and I pretty much said, okay, what if I could reach across the room with my aura and pick up a model? Basically sort of merge the concept of auras with telekinesis. And the reason why it looks like these things are hovering is because not everybody has an aura. And that's sort of where I kind of diverged from the normal. But I've always been very drawn to the concept of auras, which is why I'm sort of intrigued that was one of the first places you went with my story. Because if I could learn how to, you know, lift this Dr. Pepper bottle that's just out of reach ahead of me to bring it to me, that would be awesome.
Interesting.
Willow, there's a caller. Do you want me to see? Are you expecting anybody?
Yes, I'm guessing that's probably Michael.
Okay, I think so because it's. I know what the extension is. Okay. Hi.
Hi.
It's Marcia. Willow's here. Will, you've reached the show. Who's? Did you want to come out? Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Hi. There you go, Willow. Okay. Willow can't see the switchboard. I'm here because Willow's computer's out. All right, go ahead, Willow.
Go ahead. I'm here.
Okay.
This is Michael Barbie. He is our resident demonologist, and he's called in just to have fun with us. So, Michael, welcome.
Hello.
And meet
Nathan. Hey, Mike.
I actually think that Nathan got dropped.
No, I'm here.
Oh, no.
Are you there? So wait a minute. There's one, two. Let's see.
I'm just incredibly stealthy.
All right. We'll see what happened. And Tracy, are you
here
too? Tracy?
Yeah, I'm here.
Right. Oh, yeah. So I don't know how that is. Well, somebody dropped, but it looked. All right, go ahead. All right, go ahead. it'll work out somewhere. I don't know.
So, did you go ahead, Tracy?
No, I was just listening.
I thought I'd heard somebody start to ask a question. So you've done extensive research into auras, which is very cool. I've done very little, but I'm very interested in it. Do you believe there's a correlation then?
I can't
between
say
your
I
issue
believe.
And go ahead.
Oh, sorry, I think my phone cut out for a moment. Was this a question to me or Michael?
For you, Nathan.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I want to believe. I think it's sort of an awkward way to answer the question. I want to believe there's a correlation because I have a very calculating mind that wants to find how things correlate. So I would like to feel like maybe there is a paranormal yet reasonable explanation for these phenomenon, but at the same time, I can't make the claim, so it's not really my place to say whether or not I believe that's the case.
I believe, and you guys might disagree with me, and that's okay if you do, I believe that we will eventually get to a point where the scientific study of the paranormal will get to a point in that, in parapsychology, where we can scientifically answer these questions, and they'll still be paranormal, but there will be valid answers for them, you know?
Right.
And it's getting that way more and more all the time. People are developing more and more new equipment to study ETs and ghost phenomenon and just all manner of supernatural stuff. And I think that it'll finally develop to the point where it is an actual science where people, because I mean, I think it's a science now, but I'm one of few. Most people think it's still bogus. So.
Right.
Well, here's a phenomenon. Willow, you're on the show, but your phone is not on here. This is really a phenomenon. So there you go.
Phenomenon.
Yeah, because you're not listed here anymore, Willow, but you're talking. So I'm trying to figure that
Nathan
out.
Nathan broke my phone and my computer.
But you're still on. So how is that possible?
Has anybody read or seen the movie John Dies at the End?
John what?
John Dies at the End. It's a book, but it also got turned into a movie.
Yes, that was really wild.
When you said that Willow's phone was no longer on the reception, I just had the memory of him talking into the bratwurst and still having reception.
Oh my God. Oh boy. Well,
I love when he calls himself while he's in jail.
Yeah.
And tells himself how to escape. That's great.
Anybody that has not seen John Dies at the End, go watch it on Netflix. It's a trip. It's like Kevin Smith and Stephen Hawking decided to team up and make a movie.
Yeah, it was a good movie. I liked it. It was pretty. It's one you can't get up and walk away. You need to pause it. Because if you miss 2 or 3 minutes of it, you're going to be really messed up and have no idea what's going on.
Oh, you're going to be really messed up and have no idea what's going on no matter what happens.
That's how it was. That's how it was in Paranormal, but with Cloud Atlas. Has anybody seen that?
I have.
Cloud Atlas with Tom Hanks and Halle Berry.
Yes, phenomenal movie.
I had zero. I kept thinking, what is the point of this movie? Until it finally got to the very end, and then I was like, oh, okay, I get it.
It's entirely based on the principle of the ripple effect, which is a philosophical approach to every person creates a ripple in the timeline, much like a pebble in the stream. And as ripples cross over one another, it creates interaction. So you can't really remove one person without impacting everything.
Right. And I believe in that. I totally believe that.
So
I believe to
validate the topic change, that's actually, when you think about it, a very paranormal sort of launch pad, because if all of these people are so relevant, then it might explain why hauntings exist, why people decide to remain, because they get to establish everything that their ripple effect should succeed in.
Yeah. Well, it very much plays into one of my beliefs, or one of my belief systems, because I do believe that we're all important in some way or another. And I think the tiniest thing could be very important, just forgetting to turn on your turn signal. And not to put a lot of pressure on anybody that's OCD or just the tiniest thing can have, I think, astronomic effects.
Oh, absolutely. I like to freak people out with that. It's like, how do you know that something you did today could result in another person's death? And they'll get freaked out by it.
Say that again, because you kind of broke up. How do you know what?
I was just saying that I'll freak some people out by saying, like, how do you know that something that you did today...
Oh, wow.
Ooh. That's heavy. Oh, jeez.
I was going to say, that's kind of heavy.
Yes.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. Whoa. That's a good
question.
We're
all guilty of murder in some way.
that's an intense thought, though. Yeah. Who knows? Willow, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry.
It really does say that your phone has dropped, so I really don't know how you're on this show, to tell you the truth. I've done a lot of these shows, but I've not seen this ever. The person that's dropped is talking, so I don't know.
I'm a figment of your imagination.
Yeah.
there you go.
The ghost in the machine.
Yeah. I don't know. It's really strange.
Don't explain when I come into the studio. I just hear a voice, but never actually see you. Like the Oz, like the Wizard of Oz.
Pay no attention to the woman behind the curtain. I don't even know what to say. I'm here.
All right. Keep going.
Willow's mind is blown by this.
Say what?
Oh, I said your mind is so blown by this. You're just fading in and out. Try not to focus on it too much. You might lose you entirely.
I'm here simply because I will it to be so.
Right.
There you go. You've got that kind of control. I'm going to start my own commune.
Wow.
Good God. Let me just say, this is completely off the subject, but I watched The Conjuring and had nightmares for like 3 days.
Really?
No, really?
You know, that is so weird just said that. That is so weird.
Scared me to death. Scared me. Like, my husband was sitting on the couch with me,
the whole time, and I told him, I said, I'm not watching it by myself. You're watching it with me. And I was scared out of my mind. And then I did not get any sleep last Friday night at all.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I woke up and I was like, I am never going to do this again. Like, the days of me watching horror movies is over. I can
I'm
no
really
longer
sorry.
Handle it. No, I figured that I would be okay, but I'm telling you what, there was one part in the movie that I thought, what is getting ready to happen? And all I had to do was see a glimpse of what was coming, and I, like, buried my head in the pillow. And I was like, I can't see this, blah, blah, blah. I mean,
What part was that? What part?
It was the part where, where the Warren lady was outside.
Oh, by the
and
tree?
And saw someone standing in the window.
Okay.
And the mom of the house was asleep.
The bed she
And then all of a sudden she raises up in the bed, and I'm like, what the hell is getting
to
happen?
Okay. Wow, okay.
And I caught like 5 seconds, not even probably 5 seconds of it, and I saw the side of, I was like, ooh, God, I can't watch this. I just can't handle it. I thought, man, you know, Willow's given me enough background to know that the adaptation is there. This is not really, the true account of what happened, and I can handle this. And I'm telling you, I could not.
And I just told her, it's not that bad. Really, it's not that bad. So I feel bad because I'm trying to talk you into watching it.
It's best to watch it in the dark by yourself. That's when it's really fun.
It was awful.
That's
like, I had all the lights in the house on, and my husband was right there. I was like, you are not leaving. If you get up to smoke, I'm pausing it. I'm not watching this by myself. And, like, I didn't sleep. It was dream after dream after dream, and then I even woke up, and, like, his hands were on me because I must have been, like, jumping and jerking and stuff. And that's the only time he'll, like, do that. Never again. So that's just a quick little aside about my phobias of horror movies.
You know, I never get spooked by horror movies. You know, very demonologist. But I went to see it after I knew the backstory, and I'm sitting in a theater in Kansas City, and for some reason, nobody was in the theater. It was after midnight, except for one homeless guy that went in.
Oh, what?
When I first went in, and the theater in Kansas City is huge. I mean, it's like a warehouse when you sit and watch a movie. Well, the one homeless guy, when I first went in, he was sitting about 10, 15 seats from me. I looked over, he wasn't there. I don't know if he's tweaking on crack or what, but I looked around. There he was behind me. So I'm sitting there watching The Conjuring with this homeless guy, which I was thinking to myself, well, I wonder if that's a demon or a homeless guy sitting behind me. So finally, I looked behind me, and he wasn't there. He had moved to another part of the theater. You know, at that point, I was getting a little concerned myself, watching the movie, trying to watch him.
Trying to watch your back.
Because I really
didn't
know. You know, part of me wondered, what if that really is a person, or if it's just a crazy homeless guy that's going to stab me in the back of the head. I really didn't know.
Do you have to pay extra at the movie theater when you're having just as scary an experience in the theater as what you're watching?
Yeah.
That's bringing the 3D to a whole new level.
Yes.
If he would have stayed still, it'd been okay.
That's how I was hearing. That's
somebody
how I was hearing Scream.
Yeah, really.
That's how I was during Scream. And ever since that movie, I cannot go to the bathroom during a movie at all because I can't seem to be in there because all I can see is the guy in the movie theater in the bathroom in the mask. See, that kind of stuff freaks me out more than paranormal stuff. I can't watch movies like Saw, movies like Hostel. I can watch The Conjuring, The Possession, the Exorcism of Emily Rose, that kind of stuff, like, all day long. Love it. Have a great time watching it. You try to make me watch something like Saw, and I will cry like a little girl.
Yeah, because you know what? You know, because Saw is a different type of thing. Saw is just...
See, that movie did not bother me at all. But there's the serial killer writing stuff coming out in these.
Right. Well, the problem is that there are so many serial killers out there. I mean, your next-door neighbor could be a serial killer.
Or it could be the homeless rhino in the
field. The homeless rhino could have been a serial killer.
He may not even have been homeless. He might have just had a costume on.
Yeah.
No, if it was a costume, he bought it pre-stinky.
there's such a difference by seeing it in a movie theater in a house. It's very different. And if you were there, if there's nobody in the show, that had to be even double scary, I would think.
You probably had to carry me out on a cot at that point.
Yeah. That's scary.
If I was alone in a theater watching that thing, oh my God, and then there being some strange person in there.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was alone, it would have been creepy, that would have added to the experience.
Yeah.
But,
well, I would have probably stood up and looked at the guy and said, are you a demon? I mean, I would have like, are you a demon? Are you a serial killer? Are you really homeless?
That's when you yell, I have stage and I'm not afraid to use it.
Yeah.
I have a gun. Did you hear me?
Yep. Yep, we did.
I'm sorry, I just realized I totally just talked right over you. Nathan, are you still here?
I am still here.
Okay.
Did anybody see Resurrection, the movie, the TV show?
Oh, yes. That was good.
Yep.
Which one, The Collection?
The Resurrection, that new show.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that one.
It's good. I thought it was good. Willow, did you like it? Tracy?
What is
Willow?
It?
Did you see Resurrection? It's on Sunday. Is it Sunday night? I don't know.
I saw the previews to that, but I did not get to watch it.
It's good. The
it
premise
really
is
good.
Yeah. I didn't think it was going to be the way it was, but it's a continuing story. I thought it was just going to be each week was a different episode, but I think it's going to be a continuous story.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It is good. You know, it's very, I think it's kind of different. Willow, what do you think of
it? It looked really good. I forgot it was on.
Yeah, it was on. I think it's Sunday night, actually. Willow, was it Sunday?
Yeah, it was on Sunday. It was on right before The Walking Dead, I think. Because I watched that, and then I watched The Dead. So.
Oh, that's really good for sleeping. to see the whole thing.
Now I can't even remember what I did Sunday.
if it happens around the time one of my favorite shows, I will remember it. Unless it happens during a poignant scene, in that case, when commercial comes, I'll say, did you just ask me something? Did you say something? I have all kinds of focus when my shows are on, I promise you.
I'm sorry, what I was ignoring that.
Well, I don't have any more questions in the chat room because I don't know, I hope we're really on and we're not on.
It's just like the two of us.
We're on because it says on air. It says on air. It says on air. So, you know, it's really weird to be watching the switchboard right now.
If anybody out there can hear us, give us a sign.
You should never say that when Tracy and Michael and I are all in the same place. That's dangerous.
No, because you'll get all kinds of shouting in your ear.
Or knocking your doors open and closing.
The internet speak up
video.
Once, trust me.
Knock twice for yes. speaking of which, I just actually left Kansas City. I was down there checking out the Bates Motel that we had gotten stuff from last time. And I've stayed there two nights in different rooms. I could not get the original room that we had investigated. Although, when I pulled into the lot, sadly I wasn't armed when I pulled into the lot because the guy got shot and they chased him across the parking lot and he crawled over a fence and all this. So I think we just developed a new one in that location. I'm sure that he'll be floating around somewhere after getting shot on the parking lot.
You need to find out what room he was in.
Yeah. He was just running by the parking lot trying to get away from the other drug dealers when he hopped the fence. But, you know, it's just, anyway, we got a new ghost there, so maybe I'll get something when I go back. But
listen, this hotel, when he calls us the basement, he told me before we got there, now this hotel is a dive. And even for my expectations of knowing it was a dive, it was even worse than that.
Yeah. See, I'm from that area. So if you have a Crown Vic, out of coincidence, you have to watch what street you turn onto because you'll hear tink, tink, and when you check your car, it's bullet holes because they thought you was a cop, so they was trying to get rank in their gangs. But it's so funny, I pulled on the parking lot, and they created a ghost right as I got there.
Wow.
So it was kind of awesome. I think I would have got something. I mean, that's probably the third or fourth person this year that's died in that location, but I took the ghost box to several rooms, and I did not get nothing except for after I went to sleep, something hit the bed. And I never got no voices or anything like that, so maybe next trip I can get something.
219, that's the magic number.
See, I got 220 and 240. I could not get 219.
Oh, that's
mean. I'm reserving it 2 weeks in advance next time. That way I can actually get it.
That's a good idea. Well, we are winding down here till the end of the hour, and Nathan, I apologize. We've gone so far away from your story.
No apologies. It's been a blast.
Well, he's following us. He's going right along with us. He's going right in there.
I am just as guilty.
You're what?
I am just as guilty.
So, do you have any more stories?
Actually, yeah. I think in this case I saved the best one for last.
Okay, cool.
But I'll leave that up to you guys. So, as I told you, I am engaged to my fiance of 10 years now, and very rarely do we drive alone. But it did happen this one time. I think she was either at a friend's house or at work or something. I don't remember the circumstances that led to me being in the car on my own. But So I was. It was probably about 11 o'clock at night. I was driving home, and I spot this guy who is, he looks down on his luck. The weather's kind of cruddy. It's not quite raining, but it's not, it's doing that light drizzle thing. And this guy just looks like he's, lost everything. I mean, just walking down the side of the road. So I stop and I ask him if he could use a lift to the town, because right now we're in the backwoods area. And he didn't look to be of the serial killer type. So I stop, I ask him if he could use a ride, and he just said, yeah, that'd be great if you could just give me a lift to, close to the gas station or something. And so I say, yeah, sure, here, hop in the back, because the front seat was kind of a mess. I had all my stuff sitting there. I had to work on choking that away. So he hops in the back seat of the car, and almost instantly passes out, right? So he just falls asleep in the back seat. I'm just like, okay, whatever. I'll just drive to the gas station, wake him up when I get there. And it was probably about 10 or 15 miles until the closest gas station. So I start driving. After a little while, I start to forget that he's even there. And as I start to see the street lights and whatnot of town starting up, I remember, okay, I'm supposed to go to the gas station. I better wake this guy up now so that it's not this, he's got a groggy mess when I finally pull in. And I call over my shoulder, hey, buddy, wake up. We're almost at the gas station. And I don't hear anything. I'm figuring, he's still just clocked out. And I figure, okay, I'm probably going to have to shake him awake. So I get to the gas station, I pull in, and I park the car, and I go around back. Now, bear in mind, it's been an open road, no street lights, no opportunity for the car to stop. So I open up the back door to shake the guy awake, and the back seat's empty.
Oh, my.
And there's just this moment of, there's this long moment where I just stare at the back seat. I mean, I'm you know, checking the foot area to make sure he didn't like roll off in some sort of a drunken stupor and wedge himself between the seats. And like, nope, the car is legitimately empty, and I must have spent 5 minutes just staring in the back seat of this car. It's just like I did pick somebody up. I did stop on this. You know, and there's just like you begin to question the entire night. You know, did I really have Taco Bell earlier? Did I?
Am I really here?
You know what? You know what I find most shocking about your story? You guys
What's
have
that?
Been engaged for 10 years, really?
That way.
Well, I say that because this happens so often. And how you can say, I'm not sure if it's paranormal now. Nathan, please. If it's not paranormal, then he's an alien and somebody beamed him up to a ship, which still makes it supernatural, or at least
that's fair. It just, the most shocking part of my story isn't that a man that was in my back, that part's okay. The most shocking part is that somebody could want to date me for 10 years, huh?
Well, yeah, because I totally believe in ghosts. I mean, I have to. If I tried not to believe in them, they'd keep me up all night. So,
is that more believable than me being date-worthy?
10 years? Dude, seriously.
Yeah.
Take the plunge. I'm going to call Megan after the show and say, Megan, what the heck? No, I'm just playing. I won't do that. I might do it, but I will be joking.
Don't shake my fiance, right?
I know Megan's there with you, so Meg, you know what? I got your back, sister. Don't worry. The wedding date is coming.
We're hoping for Halloween of this coming year.
Oh, I want to come. Do I get an invite?
Absolutely.
A Halloween wedding? That'd be actually. I will be up that direction in October. As a matter of fact,
that would be gnarly.
I'm going to go to Halloween with KB.
Sweet.
So,
you are going to go? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. She offered me even to stay with her and stuff. And how am I going to pass that up?
No way.
So, yep, we're going.
That's
going
to be fun.
I think that was absolutely a ghost. I've heard that story repeatedly from many, many different people. I've even heard stories, and this isn't like stuff I've heard on Paranormal Witness or on TV. Real people have told me stories so similar to that. One of the stories I heard was they never stopped to pick up the hitchhiker, yet 2 miles down the road, they look up in the rearview mirror and she's in the back seat of their car.
That is where I pull the car over to the shoulder and I am
right.
The ghost can
have
the car.
That would creep me out.
Here's the car. Have fun with the car. I'm leaving.
Yeah,
I'll see you.
Grab it before.
Keep your ectoplasm off the upholstery.
What?
I think people probably have like these experiences and have never ever thought about that. That's what it was. They just don't know what to say about
it.
They just think they're crazy,
or they don't want to talk about it.
Yeah,
I'll set their mind at ease. We're all crazy. It's whether or not other crazy people believe you.
Well, and here's the thing. We had a doctor, I can't remember his name, we had a doctor call in to one of our shows shortly after we first started doing this. And we were, I believe at the time we were talking about, you know, sleep paralysis and different things, that physiological reasons why you would feel like you were being held down or choked when that were not paranormal. And
yeah.
We got on the topic with this doctor. I'm going to have to go listen to that show again because I can't remember his name. we got on the topic of people who hear voices and have not just audio hallucinations, but hallucinations as well. And I told him, and I believe this, and I don't care if people don't agree with me. I think that there are a lot of people, especially in the United States, because we are so pill happy here. Everybody take a pill, you'll feel better.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of people who are witnessing actual paranormal phenomenon and taking medication that they do not need because there's nothing wrong with them. I'm sure if I went in, if I took the time to go in and be evaluated by a shrink,
oh my,
and I started, they would never let me go. And I assure you that I'm not insane.
Here's the thing, and I know after I say this, somebody's going to burn me at the stake, so. And it's nothing against religion. But if you're in church, it's okay to believe in someone that came back from the dead. It's okay if an invisible man, that's not saying he's not real. It's just saying nobody else can see him. If he talks to you and you tell anybody, it's a man. But if you say something talked to you outside of that setting from your closet, you need therapy. I've never understood that, why one is accepted and not the other, and no matter what religion you are. If your deity talks to you, everybody agrees. If someone talks to you that's not the group's deity, you're crazy. I've been in enough asylums for one reason or another. Wearing a white coat.
Dad, we're going to do a whole show on you.
Oh, my God. That was really... but those people there, just babbling in the corner, screaming about the demons and everything else, you know, maybe there's some truth to what they're saying, and just nobody else can see it, you know. And, again, if it was in a church setting, they could just exorcise them and be okay. But because he talked to a professional who may have been an atheist or whatever the case may have been, but he had his doctorate degree, okay, you need Thorazine. You know, just saying.
And I agree with that. I want to make sure that I cover both sides of this point. Not to say that I don't believe that there are real mental illnesses and people that really need help and they really need medication and they cannot function without it. Because I know that that's true. And
but what caused them to be mentally ill? That's $1 million question.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, that is.
That doesn't necessarily, I mean, that could be a physiological thing or, you know, environmental or whatever.
Breeding standards.
Michael? That was my question.
I think there's, sometimes there really is no reason for something. Tracy, I mean, don't you think that's, what happens sometimes? You can't explain things? Just happen.
Well, I'm coming from a forensic psychological perspective, and I always had a problem when we did case studies with schizophrenics, because there was one case that stood out, that stands out in my mind still to this day, of a gentleman who swore up and down that there were angels perched in the tree outside. And I never questioned that. I thought, does he really see angels sitting in the tree outside, or is he truly mentally ill? Always my biggest problem, especially with schizophrenia, because it has auditory hallucinations, it has delusions, it has visual hallucinations. You've got this whole gamut of symptomology that plays into schizophrenia especially, and then you've also got psychosis with that, which is a valid mental health diagnosis for certain individuals, and when they are put on meds, they're fine, and they're able to live a healthy, normal life, and they truly are schizophrenic. But then I also wonder what percentage of those schizophrenics are not schizophrenic and are gifted.
and seeing things that aren't there,
right,
that they see that are there but no one else can see. So I've always struggled with that in my profession. But I think that's why you have those diagnostic scales that are put in place, like the MMPI and all of those different things for the purposes of diagnosis. Like, but I also think that if you find a counselor or a therapist who has similar belief systems as you, they're going to be more open to your spiritual experiences instead of saying, you know what, we're going to lock you up in a room and let you sit there and figure out what the hell is wrong with your life. So I think it depends, because, for example, there's a counseling center in the county that I work for. One of the ladies in that counseling center is a flat-out atheist. The gentleman in the counseling center is agnostic. And then there's a therapist who works in there who is kind of eclectic, and she embraces all sorts of different spiritual possibilities. And she treats her therapy patients completely differently than the two others do. And everyone prefers to go to her because she's more open-minded. She's not as liberal with meds. And she listens to what you have to say. So I think there's a very, very fine line and a very big gray area when you're talking about mental health and mental health diagnoses and actual paranormal phenomenon. I think you have to rule out all of the likely possibilities, all the things that make sense, and then once you rule all of that out, you know you're dealing with something paranormal.
Yeah, that's very difficult.
That's my professional opinion.
Yeah.
Is
it
difficult? There are fields. Well, go ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, is it difficult on you, Tracy? Because that was my thing in college. I was a psychology major. Isn't it so difficult and frustrating for you to, especially like when you were in school for it, the textbook of this, when you knew it could be something different and you had to bite your lip? Did you feel conflicted, and especially like during residency or anything like that, to where you're just biting your lip knowing you guys are just going by the book with this person, and I think there's something more, but you can't deviate?
Well, like when I started into the forensic psychology program, I was a non-believer. I was agnostic.
Okay.
If not atheist at that point. So the only reason, like, there were times where I would see glimmers of, I wonder if they really are seeing demons, just based on my background as raised in the fundamentalist church. But in that time in my life, I was completely and utterly atheist and thought, well, they probably are freaking crazy. But
I
was really torn, because up until I switched over to psychology, and this is bad for demonologists because I was a practicing Satanist at the time, I went to a Catholic university. Now, I was literally elephant in the room.
Did you have suicidal tendencies while you were in college?
That's the perfect oxymoron.
I kept expecting that some priest tackle me and tie me down and exorcise me or burn me at the stake. I was just, like, terrified.
Oh, I have a comment, but I can't do it because we're on air. For anybody that heard your last sentence knows where I was going to go with that, but I can't.
Go ahead, and I'll do the I'll yell beep real loud.
No.
Y'all got to excuse me. I've been up. I've had like 10 hours sleep in 3 days doing this ghost hunt. So I'm just like, yeah.
He's on the jagged edge.
I'm a little caffeinated. I swear if I get stopped.
He's going to fall off that jagged edge really hard here pretty soon.
Nathan, did you have a question or a comment? I thought I heard you say something.
I was actually just going to say that I'm trailing a blank. Hold on. Let me catch up with myself. There.
Okay.
if law enforcement agencies, I mean, like policemen will resort to, I don't want to say resort, that makes it sound like a last-ditch effort, but they will refer to psychics and mediums to try and solve the case, won't they?
Yeah, I think so.
I can answer that because my background is law enforcement.
Okay, so, I mean, is that at least somewhat accurate?
Could you repeat the question again? Because I was having bad reception. I apologize.
That law enforcement agencies will refer to specialists like mediums and psychics to solve the case?
Very rarely. There's
reluctantly.
The problem is in the academy, I can remember when I was in the academy, you have somebody that has a Christian background. They may have read a book on witchcraft, and now they're lecturing at the academies on occult crimes as a specialist,
right.
Which, so, it's so messed up and not accepted that when they do get a medium in, there's usually somebody in town council that finds out who's a Christian, so now it hits the fan, or the media finds out, and now the mayor is mad. Problems with the other officers with that. They
right.
do more than known, and they just keep it as part of the investigation. It's private information. So, yeah, they do, especially in the larger cities. As I told Willa once before, I think I even said it on air, I started my career as a deputy sheriff, but because of my unique abilities, I was really good at stopping people and finding their drugs and stuff because I just knew when I walked up the car, meth in the glove box. And I would just
right.
walk up and, you know, I'd be talking for a second. I'm like, listen, you want to hand me your meth pipe and your half a gram in the glove box and I'll be a lot gentler on you. You know, and they're like, how the hell you know that? My cousin told you. But it got back to my sheriff.
Your dead cousin told me.
Yeah. my sergeant actually suspended me because they didn't want me on the road after the graveyard incident because I seen some dead people and scared the rookie. My sergeant pulled me off the road because I was going to bring the devil to the department, and they all was going to burn in hell because the devil was telling me these secrets. I kid you not, I actually got fired from that department for that. So it's still not accepted. And this is a major department in Missouri that you would think that far north would be more advanced, but everybody's reluctant to turn to anything that's not mainstream.
People are afraid.
And I
say this every time we have a show. I get countless messages from people who have said, you know, I read Haunted 1 or I read Haunted 4, and this particular story or that particular story, something just like that happened to me, and I'm so glad that you wrote that because all this, I don't tell anybody because people think I'm crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's scared to death that people are going to think they're crazy. I personally, I know I am crazy. I'm just not insane. There's a big difference.
I have to say, what's wrong
you
with
are
crazy?
Socially...
You know what? It's really strange that you say that, Willow, because, you know, I was writing a scene for my Virginia Templeton, and I was adding something in there, and she was in the psychiatrist. This young girl's going into the psychiatrist's office, but in her mind, she's thinking, she's afraid because she doesn't know if she says something that he'll think she's crazy. So I think maybe that is what people think. Like, if they tell people something about their life that sounds strange, that they may think they're crazy when they're really not.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if these paranormal experts, like the psychics and the mediums and whatnot, can be called upon, granted, like it was pointed out, I mean, there is a bit of backlash with it. But I mean, if these psychics and mediums can be called upon for law enforcement, why can't they serve as references? I mean, if you're in a if you're in a psych ward and you want to know if somebody's crazy or if they're legitimately maybe encountering, you know, a spiritual or paranormal phenomenon, why not have somebody who is an expert in that field on site to go, actually, they've got a point.
They actually do have parapsychologists. And none of them, not very many of them, of course, are on staff and getting paid. But there are some, like, liberal, holistic facilities that do utilize parapsychologists. They're few and far between. And a lot of them are privately funded by people with deep pocketbooks because they're definitely not going to be supported by the public, especially in the Bible Belt.
Right.
But in your more liberal states or in your more liberal counties, they do have facilities that utilize those psychologists in that capacity, help diagnose, but to treat these people that are struggling with perhaps mental health issues, but also to kind of come into their own, so to speak, so that they know that they're not, like, losing their mind. And then...
Do those types of places tend to get, like, I mean, there must be some sort of a success rate, right? I mean, are there numbers?
There would have to be. Unfortunately... I don't think there's enough case studies being done, which to me is completely and utterly unfortunate, because case studies typically take funding, and
it
has to be from a valid funding source. And usually it's the federal government that will fund those case studies so that they can publish that documentation. You're not going to find a federal government agency to document a parapsychologist's case studies when they're covering up alien abduction and alien contact and all of the other things
say,
that only God knows what they're covering up.
They're not going to meet the funding, something like that.
They're not going to invest in something. I mean, your private people with your deep pocketbooks are going to be like, sure, we'll invest in that. And there'll be published articles in different magazines, but you're definitely not going to see it in Psychology Monthly, and you're definitely not going to see it in all of these high-profile, valid articles, publications, periodicals. You're not going to find that. Now, you're going to find them in, like, paranormal-based magazines and different things like that, but... I agree. I think that that's valid.
Right.
Don't you think that, not just government, here I go being all subversive again, not just big government, but, I mean, look at the big pharmaceutical companies. It is not cost-effective for them to be told, no, we don't need your pills.
It's a conspiracy. I mean, I hate to be a conspiracy theorist, but let's get real.
If I invented a cure for cancer, I wouldn't tell anybody. I'd like to live to at least long enough.
Oh my gosh!
Birth.
Yeah.
I mean, that's death sentence.
There's more money in treatment than a cure.
Yes. Well, and on that subversive note, since I've went there already.
Here comes the black helicopter. Oh, my house. I ain't going to do this. Just a disclaimer.
That was scary. I will tell you, we were on the phone one night, Michael and I, talking. It was way late again. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Things you can't say on the airwaves.
And we were talking about end-of-the-world scenarios, you know, hypothetical, not so hypothetical situations that might occur, and how we would react to that, including zombies. So, I mean, we were really...
And, of course, my background, I would react a little more aggressive than most people because I wouldn't waste my time calling 911 and interrupt them while they're donut shop.
And we're in the middle of talking about all this stuff, and we're talking about, you know, what kind of guns you should have for this scenario or that scenario, what kind of weapons you should have on hand. And all of a sudden... Michael said, "Do you hear that?" And I'm like, "Do you hear what?"
And he said, there's a helicopter over my house. And I went, uh-uh. So he takes the phone and goes outside, and there was a helicopter over his house. Not 5 minutes later, there was a helicopter over my house, and we live like 200 miles away from each other.
And he went, ew.
I've summoned demons and not been afraid as I was this, because about that time, for some reason, they decided to drive armored Humvees past my house. Now, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that I was reaching for my ex-duty gun and hiding in the closet. But let's just say I got really, really worried.
He said to me,
wow.
If I lose you, don't come looking for me. And, if they come to get you, I'm going to tell them I have no idea who you are.
I don't know who that guy is, man.
Yeah, and it's not like I live, like, in the middle of town. You know, you've got to take a detour to drive a damn Humvee past my house, especially two
of
them.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
That's kind of creepy.
Especially the up-armored Humvees. I mean, what's the chance of that? With the helicopter, during that conversation, you know.
And then went over mine. Of course, mine was ended up being the life flight, the Samaritan.
Oh, great. I'm talking about this over open airways now. Well,
if we all hear helicopters, I'm going to be worried.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, you know, I mean,
to drop on my house.
If you watch TV, yeah. Though, I mean, the shows are getting stranger and stranger and different things. They're a lot different than they used to be because people are starting to show these kind of things on TV where just things happen and
yeah.
People are watching people. And, you know, it gets to be where who's watching who, because whenever they don't know what to do, it looks like in a scene they put either somebody, you know, has been watching them or taping them or, you know, something, and they don't know it.
This is what blows my mind. Is that if you do any kind of research on conspiracy theories, and I've done that, and I don't recommend doing it if you don't want to end up horribly depressed, because, wow, it's depressing. But it was for a story I was writing, and I spent almost an entire day researching all these different conspiracy theories. And what blows my mind is that people will buy some of the most outlandish, and some of it's just garbage, folks. They will buy the most outlandish garbage in the world and say, yeah, this is true, but deny the existence of ghosts. And everyone knows at least one person who has seen a ghost. Everyone knows at least one person. So we're not going to believe in ghosts, but we're going to believe some crazy theory that one of the most recent I heard is that somebody, and I'm not going to say names because I don't want to get myself in court, some big deal person bought out this food company and they're now adding some kind of spermicide to the food so that we are no longer able to procreate. Now, really?
I mean, really?
Yeah,
wow.
Well, that must be working really badly because I work in the public service industry, and that must
like
so
rabbit.
Not be working.
You know,
because...
And say ghosts don't exist. I wish somebody could...
I tell you, if we was on the subject of conspiracy theories, because my background, I could tell you some stuff that's actually true.
Not
that,
on air.
I know. It would actually make you paranoid how close you are being monitored on everything.
Yeah, I'm not shocked by that at all. Cause
me neither. I'm
ever.
Not either. No, yeah. I think
so
it's,
then,
you know, yeah, I agree.
Let me interject here then. Nathan, if it wasn't you that crashed my computer, whoever it is that did, you must be listening now. Please fix it.
Yeah, all right, well, actually, you shouldn't even be on the show because it says you're not here, so that's really insane.
I told you, it's willpower. It's sheer willpower. I don't know. I think there's a fine line between normal, paranormal, I think you have to use a large amount of discretion. I think that
yeah.
it's always the best idea to go into it thinking that it's not real until you can prove that it is. When an event happens to you, because, you know, some people, I have one of my kids, because, you know, we are inundated with
Paranormal Activity. One of my kids, every time anything remotely odd happens, now they jump to the conclusion that it's paranormal. And many, many times, I can start looking around and I can figure out an actual natural cause for what happened. But then there's those other times where, you know, you go out to the kitchen and all the drawers are open and everybody's in bed and you were out there 5 minutes ago and they were all closed. Well, you know, I have yet to discover, because I don't live in a massive earthquake zone, what caused that. You know, doors opening and shutting of their own accord. That's something that happens here on a very regular basis, several times a week. That will happen in my home. Sometimes it's because there's an air draft and the windows in the house are open and you open one door and it slams another one. But sometimes all the windows are closed. And sometimes everybody's totally asleep and for no reason my bedroom door will just open.
So weird.
You know, at those times, that's when I always do try to find a natural cause before I jump to paranormal. Now, when I look up and I see a ghost standing there, obviously there is no... There's two things that could be going on. Either I'm hallucinating and on the verge of a mental breakdown, or there's a ghost standing there.
Alcohol.
No, there you go. Don't call me a drunk on the air.
No, I can tell you one thing. If I looked up and saw a ghost, I would become substance dependent.
Yeah.
Because that is, like,
yeah.
I don't see them the way that you see them.
The only time it bothered me was, like I said, because of my background, when I would investigate child murders. I would get off duty. I would go home at midnight. I'd get home about 12:45. I'd doze off. 1 o'clock, something bumped the bed. I turn over. There's a 7-year-old dead kid staring at me, trying to give me a message. So at that point, I spent probably, I don't know, I got so bad that for probably 6 months, I was actually drinking in a patrol car because it was it was just getting me. I mean, I would go to the police station, I'd go to the bathroom, I'd turn around, there's a dead kid trying to give me hints on his case. I'm like, you know, even if you're into that stuff, eventually stuff like that just...
It can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm lucky because it's not like that. It's like that little girl I told you about. Not too long ago, I was sitting at my computer desk. Typing away, and the door was open, I don't know, about 8 inches. And I was typing, and I look up, and here's this little girl. She looks to be about 12. She had very dark hair and a short mushroom cut. Had on a red gingham shirt with little silver snaps. I couldn't see the lower half of her because I have a wine cabinet that sits right beside the door and that
alcohol.
Was blocking the view.
Okay,
it was
Why was it empty?
Because I'm a poor kid. I couldn't afford to buy alcohol. But I have a beautiful wine cabinet. I looked up and I saw her, and she smiled at me, and I had just taken in a breath. I was just about to say, hey, who are you? Because she was absolutely 100% solid. There was no transparency to her whatsoever. And I thought that somebody had stopped by the house, that it was somebody's kid just peeking in the room to see who was back here and what was going on. And just as I took in a breath to say, hey, who are you? Or what are you doing? She was gone just that fast. There was no dissipation. There was no fading away. She was there and then she was not. And I didn't look away. I was looking right at her. And my reaction, because I'm so used to that, not to solid, because that doesn't happen very often, really. But
always get solid.
I'm so used to that I was just like, I sent a message to Teresa, my admin, and I'm like, dude, I just saw a ghost. And she's like, really? And it's just that matter of fact. And I'm like, yeah, it was really cool. I thought it was a real kid, and we just talked about it for a minute. And she's like, I could never live with you.
And I got a question. Was you drinking at night?
No, it was the middle of the day. it was the middle of the day. I was not intoxicated on any substance. Okay. You know I never drink before 3 o'clock.
Okay, Scarlett.
Never before 3. But no, I had not been imbibing in any substance whatsoever. I was drinking sweet tea. But that just, it just happens. Now, I don't get visuals a lot. It's more sensation for me than seeing actual apparitions, but it does happen from time to time. But you grow accustomed to it. And I've been very lucky. I'm going to find some wood. Hang on a second. Knock on wood. I've been very lucky because when I see people generally how they were when they were alive, not in a death state.
I see them as they die.
In a death state, I think that would be horrifying, and I don't know that I could handle that.
It takes about 5 to 50 blocks a day to get through it, average.
And you were calling me a drunk.
And I wouldn't count my drink.
Pot and kettle.
The good thing about obfuscating alcohol is you don't have to buy it, so it makes it much easier. Yeah, she knows you say that on air.
You should not say half the stuff you're saying.
There's so much. I don't really care, but I'll go ahead and say that just because it's on a humorous subject. I realize how easy it is to get a 3-day suspension. Because if you're intoxicated enough and you're driving around, and of course, everybody got a pick on the cop. So I'll stop at a red light in the Hooker District. That was where I patrolled. And I knew everybody by name. Don't ask. It was my job. And somebody yelled at me, "Hey, how are you?" I'm like, "I'm good." I don't know how the subject came about. I'm like, "Yeah, I'm the perfect date." I reach over the seat. I'm like, "Not only did I come up on handcuffs, I usually keep 30 packs, and I'm holding it up." Needless to say, I got a 3-day one on that one. But it just finally gets to you to the point to where you just can't deal with.
And that is inevitably why you stopped, right?
Yeah, I mean,
you just couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, all the violent crimes I was dealing with on duty. I mean, everything from kids in car crashes to domestics. And then when I wasn't on duty, I was still seeing dead people wanting me to fix their problems. I'm like, I can't deal with it. Something's wrong here.
Yeah.
But this is why back to that topic that we were on earlier about using mediums with law enforcement, which, by the way, I thought was a very insightful topic. Nathan, thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they don't do that more often either. Now, everybody that knows me knows how I feel about the topic of mediums in general, because I do believe that there are a lot of shysters out there who interpret things from body language, and they're very well trained and they're very intelligent, and they can come up with really good readings that sound like they just know you inside and out, and it's all fake. However, I know from experience that there are people out there who are for real. I mean, I've met them personally, and I don't understand if you had the ability, especially when we talk a lot about kids, when kids go missing, I think how many lives could be saved if somebody was consulted right away and they could actually lead them to their, what is that? I mean, you know this, Tracy, probably better than I do, but don't they say there's like, what, a 24-hour window from the time a child comes up missing?
Yeah.
24 to 48, but it's 24.
And if you don't find them in that 24-hour period of time, the likelihood is that they're either dead or you will never find them.
That's right.
Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's find these mediums that know what they're doing, and let's find these kids. Let's save some lives. What's the big deal?
The problem is, and, you know, I make cop jokes a lot because I can, you know. Most cops, for the most part, are really good and really try. But the problem is, if you're not a cop, especially if you're not a cop with that department, it's none of your business. We're somebody special here. This is what we do. You just stay out of it if you're voodoo stuff. But let the professionals handle it. We're trained. unfortunately, that's the mentality a lot of times, and it prevents people that could give them answers. And then when you do give them answers, those people are under investigation because of,
they must have been involved in the crime.
Right.
Yeah.
So those people that can help are scared to. And unfortunately, there's no way of changing people's thinking because it would make a difference.
I think, do you think the day might come that people look at this differently? Or do you think, I mean, because we're, here we are, you know, 1,000 years or even less, 500 maybe, since seers and what did they used to call them back in the day? They called them seers, sometimes witches, oracles, divinators. They were commonly used, and it was commonly part of the governmental system, be it, you know, some kind of monarchy or whatever. And then we went through this what I would call the dark ages of thinking, not the actual dark ages, where everyone or anyone that had those abilities was considered abomination and were killed for it. Do you think all of you, this is just an open question to everybody, do you think we'll ever get to the point where it is accepted? And
I think after the zombie apocalypse, if it actually happens, then they'll reconsider it. Until then, it ain't going to happen. No way. It'll be another 100 or so, 80, 90 years before they finally, hey, there must be something to this. There's been enough study. You know, when they bring it into colleges and police academies and stuff, well, this is the science behind this. This is fact. It'll probably take that long before it's accepted mainstream. Does anybody agree with me on that?
I'm thinking that all the, you know, because of the TV shows and because of a lot of things and books and things like that, I do think people kind of are toward believing this more than they did before. I don't think they don't believe it. They don't not believe it. They just don't talk about it. They might believe it. They are afraid maybe to say something that they do believe this, because all these shows couldn't be on. They have all these shows on Lifetime now that are, you know who it is, Willow, or the woman in the blonde hair, that she's a medium, I think.
Long Island, you know, medium?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Medium.
You know, and Tracy, there's all of these shows now.
I tried to get her on the show, by the way.
Yeah, there's all of these people that are on these shows, and then there's a lot of celebrities that are seeing ghosts in their homes and whatever. So I'm thinking that maybe it's becoming more of a topic that people actually will come out and talk about, where they didn't talk about it before.
I would say that's true. I mean, collectively, I think it's going to be a while getting there, but I know I watched a program, I think it was last weekend or the weekend before that, about a police department. It was specifically about psychics and how various different police departments in the United States were utilizing those particular psychics for criminal investigation. And then, like, one of them, she's, like, used by the police department on a regular basis. But
wow,
that's almost an exception to the rule. Like, the police were completely skeptical about her, but a family member had gone to her for help to solve, I think it was her sister's murder. And she provided no detail to the psychic. All she was to provide was a photograph and a personal item, and that was it, like a hairbrush or something like that.
Yeah.
And the psychic was able to concoct a profile of the person and of the alleged abductor and of a possible, like, location of the body or one of the last places that the person saw. And she, I don't know if she drew it or if an artist drew it or what, but they drew an exact location in this town. And from my understanding, the psychic was not from that town, so she did not have a frame of reference to the layout of the town.
Oh, wow.
So she like, it was a really interesting program, and I think it was on the Bio Channel. But she was able, I mean, they weren't able to find the body. She was able to explain that there was a gentleman that was stalking this woman, and that she believed that that's who the perpetrator was. But, like, I don't think they were even, I think it's still like a cold case. That she was able to provide a lot more detail than she than anybody had ever been able to provide.
Wow.
To try and find this this woman's body. So, do
wow.
I think that law enforcement will utilize psychics? I think if they find one that they can find faith in and that can prove themselves, I think they'll be more likely to utilize them. But I know with the law enforcement officials that we work with personally through my job, and I'm married to one, I can tell you they'll be skeptics first. And
yeah.
You will have to prove your ability to them before they'll find validation in what you do.
And some major departments will have to lead it, because I know even 6-7 years ago, we were still... And I was pretty far out north in Missouri, and we were still using basic forms developed by the NYPD. A lot of departments follow, you know, New York and stuff like that. So until major departments start this, you know,
it's going to have to be your bigger influential departments that are doing that, and then. Once the bigger ones start doing it, possibly the littler ones will. But this was just a small town sort of situation that they were kind of following. So it wasn't like a big New York City police department. It wasn't anything like that. But that show was absolutely amazing. I really do wish that law enforcement would be a little bit more open-minded. And not, because there are crackpots out there everywhere that don't, they're just looking for a fast way to get famous. And that there are some, like this lady, she was able to provide them detail about the case that she did not have any knowledge of. The sister that came to her had no knowledge of that. The only people that had knowledge of some of the situations that she gave in her profile were the police. That was it. So she went from cold with no information about these people, anything, to being able to provide an accurate profile and talk about evidence that the people had already collected that she had no way of knowing about. So those kind of cases, if you could find one for every big department, I think you would get some validity and collectively it would catch on.
Yeah. There's just so much to think about these days.
Yeah, it is. Well, it is 10:43 according to my clock, and I had told poor Nathan that we only have an hour-long show.
Right.
But at this point, I've kept him far longer than what I told him I would. So we probably better wrap it up. Nathan, can you give the listeners your stalker info so they can find you?
Absolutely, because who doesn't love a good stalker, right?
Right.
I can be found, I'm just about everywhere on the internet. If you search me, you'll more than likely find me. My last name is actually spelled S-Q-U-I-E-R-S, so I know that it was spelled I-R-E-S on the radio show.
This is my fault. Sorry about that.
It's no problem. I got into an argument with my banker who thought that I didn't know how to spell my own name. if somebody desperately wants to find me, it's Nathan Squires, I-E-R-S. I'm on Facebook. I've got my author page on there. I'm also on Google+. Twitter. You know, if you find me on Facebook and you want to stalk me elsewhere, by all means, shoot me a message. If anybody's wondering, I'm the fat, pierced guy, not the guy from Florida.
And Tracy, give him your stalker info.
My stalker info. That's awesome.
And make sure you do it slow in case we have some search challenge stalkers. Special picture.
Loading into the microphone.
Hello, creeper.
That kind of worried me a little bit. Would you get me in the movie theater?
I am also on Facebook at author Tracy Ford. I have a YouTube series that is all paranormal based, and it can be found on youtube.com/user/author Tracy Ford. I do also have a website, and it's just simply Tracy Ford, T-R-A-C-E-E, Ford.com, and that'll lead you pretty much to any location where I can be found, or where you can creep. And I'm trying to think if there's – oh, Southern Ohio Ghost Hunters is also on Facebook, and it is – in order to look that up, it is actually the Southern Ohio Ghost Hunters. But like I said, if you go to my website, it's going to link you to all of those locations.
And you can always find everybody at World of Ink Network. If you need to find somebody, you can contact Virginia or myself, and I'm at Michigan Avenue Media. So anytime someone is on the show and you want to ask some questions, I can get you in touch with them. And, I should say one thing. I have a show Tuesday night with authors, and Sable Hunter was on the last time. What was it, 2 weeks ago already now? 2 weeks?
She's awesome.
Oh, yeah. She was great. Yeah, and she is actually coming on the show. Yeah, I know. She had some great stories there. So she'll be on Tuesday night also, and any of the shows are on demand. So, and the links are available for years. They just keep going on. So, you know, if you put a link out of the show, it just stays on. We're everywhere. Okay, go ahead, Willow.
Okay, Michael, your stalker info is?
I've been up too long. You don't have to tell.
You can find Michael Barbie, demonologist, on Facebook. He's got a fan page on Facebook. He's also, you know, got a regular Facebook account if you want to friend him. Your website's still under construction, yes?
Yes.
Okay. So if you want to locate him there, and, of course, if you can't find me, guys, you're not looking. That's just all there is to it. I'm everywhere. I'm a figment of everyone's imagination, apparently, because I show up all over on
us. Wait.
But specifically Facebook, and hey, friends, request me. I'd love to have you on my fan page. We're getting ready to have a big 4,000 minion event thing, but I'd rather have you on my friends list because then I could actually talk to you. If you are listening to this show and you would like to be a guest on the Paranormal Hour, please send us a message on the Paranormal Hour fan page. Either Tracy or myself will get right back with you. We'd love to hear your story. Thank you from all of us here at the World of Ink Network, and have a good night. Goodbye,
good night.
Everybody.
Bye-bye.
Good night,
Bye-bye.
Everyone.
Bye-bye.